the University of Hawaii, where she serves as Principal Investigator and Evaluation Coordinator. And I'll let her explain her great project here, rather than be taking any more of her time.
Hello. So I am a school health evaluator at the University of Hawaii. I work for the Healthy Hawaii Initiative Evaluation Team. And I have no relationships to disclose. So just to give you a little bit of background, so the Healthy Hawaii Initiative, or HHI, was created more than 10 years ago in 2000, and this was established by the Department of Health using tobacco settlement funds. So HHI focuses on three primary behaviors and looks at healthy eating, physical activity, and tobacco-free lifestyles. In Hawaii, the Department of Health and the DOE School Food Service do have a really good relationship. To give you a little more information, so Hawaii's DOE system is the ninth largest school district in the nation, and they serve more than 100,000 meals each day. 50% of Hawaii's public health students are eligible for free or reduced price meals. And today I'm here to talk to you about a model schools program. So in Hawaii, we've had a three-year pilot model schools program with nine schools, and they were allowed to focus on one of three content areas, either health education, nutrition education, or physical education. So today I'm just going to be talking about the results from one nutrition education school. This school used healthteacher.com as their curriculum source for nutrition education, and they also engaged students in various activities such as cooking demonstrations or field trips, for example, to the supermarket or local farms. So our evaluation project assessed nutritional behaviors in the cafeteria. So just to tell you about the school that we looked at, this model school was a K-5 elementary school. 83% of the students are eligible for free or reduced cost lunches. Only about 1% of the students actually bring a home lunch with them. And 25% of the students have limited English proficiency. It's a low-income school that's close to three public housing projects. There are about 400 students at the school, roughly, and there's a high percent of Chinese students, followed by Filipino and Native Hawaiian students. And just to review some of the objectives of our project. It was actually a really fun project, so I'm excited to share some information about it with you. But we divided it into two different parts. So the first part, we looked at food selection. This was focused on the upper elementary students, those in grades 3 to 5. These students do have the opportunity to select a minimum of 3 items on their lunch tray. So for this group, all we did was just use a simple counting device, and we assigned one research assistant to track each food item. So for example, you might be asked to track all of the fruit that day. You might be asked to track all the vegetables. I might be counting all the milk selected that day. So each research assistant was tasked with one food item. The second part was looking at food consumption. And this was with students with those in the lower elementary grades, K-2. So those in K-2, they are served all of the food items on their tray. They do not have a choice. They're not able to make a selection for food. So for this group of students, we were actually focusing on what they consumed rather than what they selected. So some of the methods, just briefly. So we did look at two school days during each school year. We had the first round of observations was done in April 2012, and then we followed up 1 year later in April 2013. We looked at two school days each year so that we were looking at two different school menus. So we had 4 lunch periods each year, a total of 8 lunch periods observed overall in this study. So just to show you the menus that were served. So this is the same food was available for both sets of students, the younger and the older elementary schools. On day one when we were there, we just randomly selected 2 days. So day one was Creole macaroni, salad, apple wedges, French bread rolls, and in Hawaii, the bread is all 50% or more whole grain. And there were 2 options for milk, white at 1% or fat-free chocolate milk. Day two, the entree was turkey and mashed potatoes, beans and corn, peach slices, raisin roll, and again, white and chocolate milk. So just to show you briefly what we did here. So this is food selection, looking at the results for those in grades 3 to 5. I'll just kind of walk you through the table to start with. So if we look first at the entree in the left column here. So it's 100% here for food selection because the entree was actually required. This was either pre-plated or required by every student to take. So there's not too much to look at here. When we moved on to the bread, in the first year, 83% selected the French bread or the raisin roll. But then you'll notice that in year two, 100% selected the bread. The reason for this difference is because actually in year two at this particular cafeteria, it was not an option to select the bread that year. It was pre-plated as well. So the first year they did have the option and they selected around 80% of the time the bread. And the second year, it was pre-plated. Moving on to fruits, you can see that approximately 83 or 84% selected the fruit when given the option. And then in year two, for apples, this increased from 83 to 87%, and for peaches, it decreased from 84 to 76%. But still, more than 75% of the student population is selecting fruit when they have the option. When looking at vegetables, 53% of the students selected the salad in year one, and 60% selected the corn and green beans. For year two, this decreased for the salad to 41%, and it was roughly the same for corn and green beans at 58%. So we can also see here that the students did prefer the corn and green beans over the salad. And then for milk, the majority of students selected the chocolate fat-free milk. For the first year, it was around half the students, 51%, and then the second year, this increased to closer to 60 or 63% that selected the chocolate milk. So the second part was looking at food consumption. So this is for the older students. And this was a really fun assessment that we did here. So we needed 6 research assistants to conduct this assignment. And we had 2 stations. So we had 1 digital camera here and a digital scale, and another camera and a scale here. And then we had a person on the side who recorded the weight of the scale and also recorded the gender of the student. And then we had 2 other people helping. One person stood in line to dispose of any of the trash that was on the tray, so forks, napkins, and they actually threw away the milk as well because the weight of the milk would affect the study. So we had somebody do that, and then we had another person who placed the trays onto the scales. It was a very fast process. We promised the principal that we wouldn't extend the lunchtime in any way, so we really, really enjoyed it. And it was just really fast. Take a photo, record the weights, throw away the tray, and move on to the next one. So again, we were looking at consumption here. Let me see. So in both years, we found that more than half of the food on the lunch plate was discarded. About 50% was discarded, thus 50% of the food was consumed. So just to show you here, what we did was we actually weighed the trays only after consumption, so post only. It would be it would interrupt their lunch too much if we actually had to weigh each tray before they ate. So what we did was we selected 3 sample trays, and we combined the 3 trays to get an average for our pre-tray. So this was the weight of our pre-tray, so the weight before eating in grams. So year one was 325 grams, year two came to 400 grams for both of the 2 menus. Then we had the weight of all of the trays after the students finished eating. And then we divided for the average weight before eating and the weight of the discarded food to find that it was 50% that actually discarded the food. So that was the portion using the digital scales. And then the second portion for food consumption was actually looking at photographs. So this was also fun as well. At this point, we brought the photos back into our office and we did the evaluation process here, and we used a 4-point rating scale. So 1 meant that none of the food was consumed, 2 equaled less than half of the food consumed, or 3 was half or more of the food consumed, and 4 was all of the food item was consumed. So again, we went and we coded each of the individual food items, not the entire tray as a whole, but we went through and looked at the entree, 1 out of 4. The apple, for example, in this photo here, was rated as 3, that half or more of the apple was consumed. So this was fun, and we had 2 independent raters go through every single photo together, and they went through it separately to rate their observation and score for each of the photos. So here are the results on the 4-point scale. So again, we're looking at consumption here, not selection. So the items, I'm not sure if you can see very well, but the items that are highlighted in orange, those indicate the highest consumed item that day. So for the day one menu, the macaroni menu, the entree was consumed the most compared to the fruit, the bread, or the salad. And then with the day two menu, with the turkey and mashed potatoes, in the first year, peaches were actually consumed the most, so the fruit item was consumed the most, followed by the second year it actually switched and the entree was consumed more in year two. So we did also measure inter-rater reliability using the interclass correlation coefficient, and we did have a high inter-rater reliability rate of 0.96 and 0.95 both years. So just to touch on some of the highlights or main points here. So when we looked at food selection, so those that actually selected the food item, the majority of students chose fruit when given the option. Approximately half of the students selected vegetables. And overall, students were less likely to choose vegetables compared to other food categories, fruit or bread. We weren't overly surprised by that they chose vegetables the least. The second part was looking at the plate waste and measuring things on the digital scale. So approximately half of the food on the lunch plate was discarded. And when looking at food consumption with the photographs, we found that in both years, vegetables were consumed the least, followed by the bread. And then on average, at least half of the fruit or entree was consumed. And we didn't actually find any differences by gender when we analyzed the data. So some of the strengths and limitations of our study. We found that the study methods were effective and appropriate to measure and analyze cafeteria data. It was also a strength that our study was able to include the entire student population, so this wasn't just a sample of the students, but did include every student in school that day. Some of the limitations, though, the study, of course, is only conducted on 2 days each school year, so of course, in an ideal circumstance, we would like to be able to look at more menus in a given year. Also, the weight of the pre-sample trays was determined by averaging only 3 trays. Again, ideally, we would like to be able to look at and weigh the pre-tray for every single student possible, but we didn't want to take up too much of their time. Also, it should be noted that the gender identification of students, this was done just by visual assessment, so particularly at an elementary school level, this may not always be accurate, but this was the fastest way. We also, we didn't have any direct interaction with the students. We didn't speak to them as far as that we had IRB approval to just kind of collect the data and not interact, so we didn't need consent forms because we weren't actually speaking with the students or the individuals. And then lastly, we didn't use any comparison schools at this time. We actually had a hard time finding a school that was compatible as far as demographics, and there were also a few other complications with the IRB process. We were only focusing on these particular 9 model schools. So that would be something that, if possible in the future, we would like to be able to do. So wrapping up, so we felt that the 3 methods of measurement, the photography, the digital scale, and direct observation, were effective and low cost and easy to implement. One point to consider is that even though healthy meals are being served in elementary schools or in schools in Hawaii, for example, the students are not necessarily consuming this healthy food. So a few recommendations. We feel it's important to explore ways to increase selection and consumption of vegetables. For example, promotion of vegetables in the cafeteria. Another thing might be, for example, for one of these menus, it was green beans and corn were combined into 1 cup. We know students can be picky eaters. It may be worthwhile to consider, is there a way to actually separate? Because I know we saw some of the kids that were picking out, you know, maybe the green beans and they only wanted the corn. So consider different ways of serving the food. Also, integrate student survey responses of perceived food preference and observational data. So I didn't touch upon this today, but we did also collect pre and post student survey data with this particular model school. And so kind of next steps, we would like to compare the survey data with the observational data that we collected. Provide comprehensive nutrition education in the classroom. This school does have a part-time health teacher, so that's really proved helpful at this school, but we know that not all of the elementary schools in Hawaii do have a dedicated health teacher. And lastly, involve families. Really at this school that does have a diverse population, it would be important to do things like taste testing, make sure materials and resources are available in appropriate languages, and have families involved in the menu development if at all possible. So. I think that's it. Any questions? Sure.
The poll has 83% of the elementary school students. Do they also have the USDA Fresh Foods and Vegetables program?
I don't believe this school did, actually. No, this one did not. Yeah, thank you.
Yes. What time frames were you able to assess, like, did kids not eat much because they didn't have enough time to finish it?
I mean, there wasn't really any difference in their schedule at that particular school. We felt they had enough time. It just seemed that either they didn't like it or, yeah, I don't think at this school it was a time thing, but I have seen that elsewhere, though.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely. Anything else? Yep, sorry.
Very quickly.
Okay.
Very
quick.
Were there any vending machines or snack options that students were maybe throwing away their food and then eating those?
No, in Hawaii we actually don't have that. That's not an available option, but I can see how that can be relevant. Yeah.